like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
We haven't talked a lot about this Alabama story with Brandon Miller, but you probably heard it or you read something about it. Brandon Miller played last night. He scored a career high 41 points, but he was involved, at least in this investigation, with what happened back in January, and we'll get into the specifics of this story too, but a day after Tuscaloosa police testified, he brought a now former teammate the handgun to use to kill a woman in January. Alabama star freshman Brandon Miller scored a career high 41 points, including a game winning layup. This is a kind of a convoluted story that, I mean, you can't take this lightly here. Tuesday, Tuscaloosa detective Brandon Culpepper testified that Miller brought now former teammate Darius Miles' gun to him on the night of the shooting death of 23-year-old Jamia Jonae Harris after Miles asked him to do so via text message. Miles, who has been since removed from the Crimson Tide men's basketball program, and Michael Lynn Davis faced capital murder charges in the death of Harris, who was shot and killed near campus in the early mornings of January 15th. Miles admitted to providing the gun used in the shooting. So it was Miles's gun. But Davis was the one that fired the weapon. So my understanding, Angel, is that Brandon Miller was driving to pick him up, Davis up, right? And there was a text basically said, in, it's like a slang term, it said, I need my joint. Well, the gun was in the car. And it was taken out of the car. According to the investigation, Brandon Miller never got out of the car, never handed the gun to anybody. Somebody opened the car, grabbed the gun, walked away. As far as I'm concerned, Brandon Miller's off scot-free.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really charge him for having the gun or providing the gun. It's not his. He was in possession of somebody else's property, and if he had kept it, that's technically theft or, you know, stealing. But, you know, he was asked, hey, I need my property back. Brought it to him. It was removed from the car and he left.
A lot of people booing him last night, saying lock him up, guilty, all of that. I mean, again, unless there's more coming out on this, which I'm sure there will, but right now it sounds like a teammate left his gun in a car and then basically said, come pick me up. That's what it was at first, was come pick me up. I'm ready to leave, whatever. And Miller took a while. But then he texted and said, because it was close to an hour after the first text that said, come pick me up. And then Miller said, hey, I'm already almost there when the text arrived. The text that Miles allegedly sent to Miller, according to the testimony, included a slang term for wanting his gun. I need my joint. So it could have just been sent. I mean, if you're Miller in this point, at this stage, he could have just been like, dude, we're parting ways, so I need my stuff. Did Miller know that there was something going to happen? We don't know that. There's nothing that proves that right now. But for perhaps on Miller's side of things, he never left his vehicle. He was not involved in the collection of the weapon or anything like that. It could have literally just been this. His former teammate said, I need my stuff. We're parting ways. So, but he went out last night and scored 41 points. We'll see if there's more to this story, but it sounds like he's not a suspect at this stage anymore.
Yeah, just obviously a tragic story, but the mentality of the basketball team and Nate Oates, the coach, has been under a lot of fire recently for some of his comments. You know, he can only say so much because right. It's a legal case, and, you know, he's just trying to focus on coaching his team. But, you know, they're still, what, number 2 in the country right now? So Obviously this is on their minds, but Miller being able to have a season that he's having is still very impressive.
Did not seem rattled at all last night. Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry, he's making progress after missing the past five games because of a lower left leg injury, the team said Wednesday. He just now has started individual on-court workouts and will be reevaluated again in 1 week. Can the Warriors stay above water in the process here while Curry is trying to get back to health? I think Golden State plays the Lakers tonight. The Lakers, of course, viewing, as LeBron said, the next 23 games are the most important games of his career. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers leaves Oregon facility. He ends his darkness retreat. I love the headline here in ESPN. Aaron Rodgers has emerged from his darkness retreat. I just see Bane coming out of the cave, man.
That's it.
He's out.
The exact scene.
It's the exact scene.
He climbed out of a hole in the ground.
He did. Climbed out of it. Apparently it's some kind of... So Scott Berman owns Sky Cave Retreats. Said that Rodgers left the dark room and facility Wednesday. So apparently we could just go buy this as a regular person, dude. We could go... This isn't something that was just set up for Rodgers. I don't know why, but I was picturing Rodgers just... Found somebody to hook him up with some beaten down cabin, and he's just going in there, and they're going to shut the lights off and put blankets up over the windows. But this is actually designed that way. You can buy this. Sky Cave Retreats is what it is. You don't have a lot in there. There's like a big bed and bathroom and all that stuff, but it's not like a great looking vacation type retreat. Four days and four nights in darkness isolation. He was hoping to have a better sense of where he was at life, or he is at life at this point. What's going to go on with Aaron Rodgers? Like, the Jets have inquired about getting him, about trading for him. Obviously, the Jets just told Derek Carr that if you come over here, you're a Hall of Famer. We can make you a Hall of Famer, which actually is true if they win. And if the Jets win a Super Bowl, like just one, with Derek Carr, is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Two?
Sure, I guess. I find it hard to think the Jets are going to win two Super Bowls.
I can't imagine, right? I just can't see it.
Well, if Derek Carr is the first ballot with the Jets, what is Aaron Rodgers with the Jets?
Rodgers is
the greatest quarterback of all time.
The greatest of all time if he takes him to the Super Bowl. So this dark hut or whatever... It's a 300-square-foot room where Rodgers spent his time it's a partially underground structure.
It's like a hobbit hole.
Yeah. Devoid of light, has a queen bed, a bathroom, and a meditation-like mat. It is fully powered, and the lights can be turned on from inside the room. Do you think that he was tempted to flick on a light?
Maybe once or twice, like 3 a.m., and you got to get up and go to the restroom. You don't want to just... be on the floor trying to find the toilet or whatever.
So is this thing not full 24/7 dark? Was it more of just a getaway, isolation, but we're not talking nonstop darkness? He turned the light on a few times, go to the bathroom, eat, all that stuff. You think he turned on his phone? Probably not.
Probably not. He was probably, you know, staying away from technology and probably didn't have a TV or anything on, so... I can imagine, okay, I'm going to put aside a couple of hours to meditate. Let me just turn off the lights and go sit in the corner. And then
dude,
when he's hungry, he'll turn on the light.
Boring would that be? Nothing in there?
I mean, boring or just in a deep meditative state, I guess.
You think he used anything to get to that deep meditative state?
I'm sure. Probably took a salt bath or something, and then...
That might make the time fly a little faster. A
couple of mushrooms, maybe some tea.
That might move things along, you know? Things go a little bit quicker when you aren't really aware of what's going on.
Well, if you didn't have a clock in front of you all the time, would you know what time it is?
No, you wouldn't, but that's why it would seem longer at some point.
Well, you're not keeping track.
No, but it would be like, dude, how long have I been here?
And then you're looking at a clock in school, and you're like, oh, I got 10 minutes of class left.
Yeah, but...
And then the time slows down.
But if you're just sitting there with nothing to do, and again, if you're, you know, if you're feeling good or whatever, you're off
feeling
on some journey mentally, then I suppose you're not thinking of it. But if you're not doing anything, then you're just sitting there. Just, that's it. So I would imagine...
he'll do a tell-all or something about it.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear what it is. I'm fascinated by it. A lot of people are making, I don't got time for that stuff. I'm like, I like intriguing stories, and this is certainly an intriguing story. One of the greatest quarterbacks ever is trying to make his next decision of what he's going to do. It is annoying that here we are again. He just did this, and now we're signing. We already signed a big contract, and now we're doing this all over again. But I don't have any issue with this darkness retreat thing. It's fascinating to me. I don't know how. I'd like to know what he did inside there.
I think the biggest question is, did he see his shadow or not?
Probably not, unless he turned that light on.
6 more weeks of contemplation.
Yes, absolutely. 6 more. Oh, man. But again, it sounds like this is something that you can just go do if you're in on this. This is a business. This guy has a business of this stuff.
It's about to get a lot more business, I'm sure.
What did I say it was called?
Sky Caves.
Let's look these up. Sky Caves. Nope, that's not going to take me there. It's the mysterious sky caves of Nepal. Probably not that. I just want to see a picture. Like, is there a picture of any of these sky caves? There's got to be something. There's got to be an actual... Oh, there it is. Maybe. Is that all it is? Wow.
They say extended darkness retreat can help in overproduction of nocturnal brain chemicals, such as melatonin and DMT, which is a psychoactive molecule that is produced naturally in the human body. So he's like forcing his body to get himself elevated.
Well, I'm looking at, so like, is that the entryway?
Mm-hmm. That kind of looks like a hobbit house.
It looks kind of cool, right? It looks kind of creepy. It's like just a, it looks like a door in the middle of nowhere. Like there's a mound of rocks behind it, which I guess this will lead you downstairs to a cave.
Well, they're open for families, too. Could you imagine?
Look at that. It's just a bed, and then behind it is a little mat with a candle.
Amazing.
Although I don't imagine you want the candle if it's darkness. Just a flat-out darkness.
I guess it's a little family, a husband, wife, and their kids that run this.
I guess. Go inside a darkness retreat cave. There's got to be some details on this. To be honest, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, that seems kind of cool. I might want to check that out. Scott Berman is the guy. He runs these things. A bunch of pictures of it if you check them out online. They actually have tours they give. Not a lot to it. There's like a little cupboard that you lock all your belongings into. Inside the front door of the cave, visitors find the stove to keep the cave toasty during your darkness retreat. The property owners come in and stoke the fire. There's an opening where staff places food for guests. So there's a little cupboard opening there. They put food in there. The door is closed, and then the guests can grab the food without experiencing light. So they take care of you. This Berman guy and his staff, they come in. They know when to go in and fill things. Put food in there. They probably have to sit down and have an understanding of when they do everything. The tub, which has hot water, is next to the prayer area and in the main room of the retreat. The all-important toilet is the only separate room from the main darkness retreat room. There is a light switch on the wall, but it has a cover over it, so guests don't mistakenly ruin their darkness stay. As you can see, there's the cover. Look at that. That'd be hard to... To turn that light switch on, you'd need a device of some kind, a pin, maybe.
I was trying to find a price for it. It's about $193 a day. You can do a week plan, 7 days, 6 nights for $13.50 with a down payment of $675.
You
it's
in?
It's not cheap.
No.
I mean, if you could find a person to go with you, I guess you could split it. but you only get the one room.
It's for families too. Like, doesn't that defeat the purpose of this?
I mean, if you're trying to just scare your kids enough, I guess just
this is what life will be like if you keep
you don't behave. We're gonna go in the darkness retreat.
No technology ever. The front door, which guests will cover with some sort of towel to block light when the retreat orders come to bring food and stoke the fire. As you can see, the room isn't huge, but you don't need a huge room when it's completely dark, and you're about to go on a journey with your brain. That's what it says.
It's your imagination flow.
As you can see, you don't need a lot of room in here, because you can't see what you're doing, so it doesn't really matter. So what happens after Aaron Rodgers wakes up from those initial 24 to 48 hours? They call it sleep. So was he asleep the whole time? Sky Cave Management says guests will start sleeping 1 to 2 hours per night. Heightened sensitivity and the opening of the subconscious can naturally begin to arise as early as the third day of the retreat and continue to intensify as the retreat progresses. Crazy stuff, man. What will he eat there?
Feels like you could go insane doing this.
I feel like, is he okay? Has anybody checked on this guy yet? Sky Cave promises to bring each guest 2 simple organic meals daily. And both means will be delivered in the evening, so there's no chance of light infiltrating the darkness cave. Guests eat food from the retreat's gardens and fruit trees.
So I imagine nothing's really, like, it's not cooked. It's just grains and fruits
probably
in a bowl.
Yeah, dude. You couldn't eat, like, a pizza in there? Like, if it's dark, I can just chow down on food and not feel bad about myself.
No.
No.
Here's a thing of corn and an apple and maybe some uncooked rice.
Wow. We'll see what happens.
Will other quarterbacks do this?
If Rodgers comes out, wherever he ends up going, and is, like, lights out. Lights out.
Nice.
And is amazing. Yeah. See Patrick Mahomes jumping in there. Derek Carr.
I mean, Patrick might do it just to get away from his brother.
Or his wife. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest. No, not yet. We do have Dalen Kuntz going to join us, though. We're going to talk some UNC Bears basketball coming up here in just a moment. But we'll take a short break right now. Our poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Any issue with Sean Payton clapping back to media members expressing concern about his slow hiring process? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears play in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Cable's Pub and Grill always has some kind of special going on. I was in there the other day, actually. I was talking about them on the air. I'm like, dude, I am going over there. I don't know if you've tried their wings, but they are fantastic. Today is Fiesta Thursday, meaning they've got smothered burritos for $10.99, house margaritas for just $4. So check out Cable's Pub and Grill, man. That's where my friends meet. I love that location. And cold days like today and yesterday, they got that awesome fireplace in there. Very relaxing environment to hang out, get some work done, meet with people, watch the game. They got you covered no matter what at Cable's Pub and Grill. Isai Chris talking about Aaron Rodgers. Do they pass around a peace pipe? Feels like that's something that could happen inside that dark retreat.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to use a lighter, that's a little bit of light that you're letting in there.
But, yeah.
I mean, everything's electric now, so you could probably find one.
That's true. That's very true. We'll see what happens with Rodgers. What do you think? Retire? Green Bay? Or the Jets?
I think Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the Raiders.
I mean, if you're going to be transformed by the darkness, you might as well go to the darkness.
Go to the darkness.
And be molded by it.
Oh.
Break some spines or something.
Yeah. So would Russell Wilson be Batman then? If Aaron Rodgers is Bane, is Russ Batman or is Patrick Mahomes Batman?
I think Russ.
Justin Herbert's Robin, for sure.
I think Russ could be the Penguin or the Mad Hatter.
No, he's Aquaman. Russ is Aquaman.
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers?
Which version of Aquaman? The goofy one or the cool one?
Is there a cool one? I haven't seen it.
Well, yeah, there's one
that's with Jason Momoa.
There's that one. There's another one where he has a hook for a hand and long hair. That one's kind of cool.
What is So you've seen the Aquaman movie with Jason Momoa. Mm-hmm. What's his power?
He can talk to fish.
Okay.
He can control the ocean tides. And
how much
the water.
Does that help him when he's just like walking around New York City?
I don't think it
or,
helps.
Or Gotham City.
I think it's more of, hey, we're in trouble in the ocean, and he just jumps in. He's like, I am all powerful.
But what if they're like, hey, you know, Aquaman, we need you, dude. There's been a robbery in Gotham City, and Batman's sick.
Is there a lake nearby? Or a water fountain?
Some kind of stream I could...
A fish tank? I only need one goldfish.
Can you transport me in a fish... Can he... He can breathe out of the water.
Well, yes. He's
but
half,
he's just a...
He's half human.
He's just a regular guy out of the water, though, that's just jacked.
Yeah.
He's not, like, super speedy or strong.
He's fast underwater. He can swim really fast.
Out of water?
Not... He's just regular, run-at-your-average, fit person. He's in shape, that's for one.
He's just a jacked dude outside of the water. So if you saw him outside of the water, you'd just be like, oh, that's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, there's a robber. I guess he could beat him up, but if the robber has a gun, he probably doesn't have any power there, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, just physically imposing, but...
That's it.
Don't get him near the beach.
Cause... Yeah, don't mess around with any robberies in the ocean, because okay. You'll be in trouble. I'll be there.
Talking to you, pirates.
Yeah, pirates.
Watch out.
Is that why we don't have pirates anymore? Really? Well, I guess we have pirates, but not like, arr, me matey, pirates.
There might be some out there still.
Still like that?
On an old wooden boat, ship, looking for buried treasure.
They try to, like, jump on a cruise ship. They can't get on.
All aboard. I'm Captain Longtoe.
Longshanks. Longtoe. Oh, my gosh. So Russell Wilson is Aquaman, feels like. You know, he has power. We're just not sure. We're not sure about it. Not sure if it
works.
Got to
be in a certain situation.
Got to be in a very certain, yes. It's got to be a broken play for Russ to really succeed. And so it's kind of like Aquaman in the ocean. Aaron Rodgers would be Bane. Or would he be Batman?
I think he'd be Batman.
He'd be Batman. Okay, Bane's not big enough for us to give.
Batman's kind of a he's isolated.
Well, he went to his cave and was surrounded by bats and stuff, and yeah. Batman Begins, and he like became one with the darkness, kind of.
So that would make Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes could be Robin, because he's kind of got that little boyish...
He could also be Superman. He is the best.
Okay, let's give him that. We'll give Patrick Mahomes as Superman. Justin Herbert is Robin?
Or sure.
He seems like a Robin. I don't know why, but that's Herbie. He's Robin.
He'd be like the Green Arrow. It's not, and he's yeah. Some people
he's
like
fine,
him, but he's
yeah.
He's kind of that forgotten guy on the Justice League. Oh, you're the guy with the bow and arrows, right? Yeah, except I wear green.
And I have
that's
a little,
another guy.
I have a little mask here that just covers right outside of my eyeballs.
It's painful.
Nobody can tell who I am that way.
When I grow a beard, so you can't see.
I love superhero stuff back in the day. Like, why did they really think that was going to work? Clark Kent, put his glasses on and he's Clark Kent. Take them off. Who the hell is that guy?
Oh, it's the suit that goes with it.
Yeah, but still, he's still
dress
the same
up
dude.
Like the reporter that he is.
When Brian started wearing, our guy Brian, Gary, started wearing glasses recently. Looks good. They look stylish. But we can very much recognize who he is still.
Sometimes.
It's not like, ah! Who is that guy in the lobby? Who is that dude? No. Like back in the day, somebody actually wrote that and said, with his glasses on, he's Clark Kent, but he takes those off and puts suit on, nobody will recognize him.
He doesn't even need the glasses.
He doesn't need
he
glasses.
He can see fine.
He can see really fine, actually.
He actually see through things.
He can. He can shoot lasers out of his eyes, too, which probably break glasses sometimes if he forgets to take them off.
Or they're just the rims without the lenses.
That's true. Oh, Clark, you're not even trying anymore, man. Those don't even have glass.
Ah, come on. My planet's destroyed. Come on. Can't afford glasses.
Come on.
Got these off in the dumpster.
So Patrick Mahomes is Superman. Aaron Rodgers is Batman. Herbie is some form of Arrow, the Green Arrow, or Robin. And then Russell Wilson is Aquaman.
Yes.
I'm going to tweet that and see if we get any play on that. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's get a quick break. Dalen Kuntz coming up next. Always look forward to catching up with our guy, Dalen. He'll be joining us in studio in just a few minutes. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Dalen Kuntz Show, presented by Top Shelf Printers and Renaissance Insurance Group. Now, with Dalen Kuntz, here's Brady Hall.
Welcome in to the Dalen Kuntz Show. presented by the one and only Renaissance Insurance Group and Top Shelf Printers. Glad they could be a part of this program. Dalen, my friend, how are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Dude, I'm liking the jacket there, man. That's pretty solid right there.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to bring it out because it's a nice little snowstorm. Well, what they say is snowstorm.
That was interesting, wasn't it, man?
Yeah,
I mean, it's deceptively icy out there, too.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, in my parking lot, I had to be careful walking to the car.
Well, I'm driving around. I'm thinking it's fine. And then as I'm tapping on the brakes, leaving Windsor, I'm about to slide into somebody. So that can get treacherous out there, man. You got to be careful.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so here's a couple of big questions we got to get to first. Okay. First, do you agree with our assessment? We're assuming Aaron Rodgers is going. You're a superhero guy. You watch superhero movies.
Yeah, I watch a little bit of
them. So you know enough about these
people.
We're assuming Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Raider. We're just going to throw that out there. So because he went on his like weird darkness retreat thing, he just got out of that. He's Batman. Can't be Bane. Bane's not big enough character. It's got to be heroes. Rodgers is Batman. Your boy, Patrick Mahomes. We're going to give him Superman. We're going to say Justin Herbert. I'm saying he's Robin, but Angel's going with the Green Arrow. And then we're going Russell Wilson's Aquaman because he's good in certain situations, but they've got to be pretty specific, like in the ocean type of deal. What do you think?
That's pretty fair.
Does it nail it? Does it get it right?
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Write that down, Angel. I can't tweet it out yet until Rodgers is a Raider because people will not understand what I'm doing if that's the case. And then the other question is Angel asked if I could – do you think in a game, like if I were just planted onto your team going up against Eastern Washington, could I score a basket? Do you think I could score a basket?
Yeah, I'd say at least one.
Get me open, man.
Yeah, or maybe get you to the free throw line.
I'll just keep running around. Throw it to me, man. And if it hits me in the head, it hits me in the head. But because people like watch you guys play. When I watch college sport, I mean, you guys always make it look so easy just to hit a shot. And it is not, man. I mean, it is like you have giants in the paint, so fast, so strong. I think it would be very difficult for me to score.
Yeah, it would be difficult, but I think we can make a way. we can figure it out.
You get 2 points?
Yeah, we can figure it out.
Let's see if Smiley agrees on that. Like, you got to get average 2 points? What if I played all season?
Think you're average 2 points? I don't know.
Just got to make it once, man. Yeah. I just got to get it in there.
We could definitely get you one.
Yeah, if you guys are up by like 20, I could shoot it like 20 times. Odds are one of those is going to go in.
Yeah.
I mean, even the worst basketball player in the world, just throw it up 20 times fairly close, it's got to go in, right?
Yeah, one of them got to go
in. I mean, you see the halftime. Well, you don't see the halftime stuff. But you see like the students come out and they'll shoot and they're terrible, some of them, but they can make a basket.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it with a defender?
It might
in
be
their
a
face.
Different in the game setting. Though,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys all move.
It's moving kind of faster than they think.
Okay, I want to try this sometime. How do I get my eligibility? I'll talk to the folks over there, Dalen. We got a few games left. You do. 2 games left for you, man. Regular season-wise, we know we're jumping into the Big Sky Conference tournament. And I'm actually going to be on this call with Tanner Schwint. Jerry Schimmel, of course, is also the voice of the Rockies, so he'll be doing spring training this weekend. So Tanner's jumping in for play-by-play duties, and I'll be jumping in for the color commentary side of it. And I just want to throw this out there. You know, part of the good luck charm thing. Last time I did a game with Jerry, or a broadcast for UNC, was when you guys took it to CSU.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe there's a correlation there?
Yeah, it could be really good. I feel like it's always really good.
Am I going to get the wave from you? Know where I'll be sitting now. I'll be up in the rafter somewhere at some point. Am I going to get that awkward elementary school, like, hi, mom wave?
If I can remember, I'll try to. Maybe just point you out.
I'll shoot you a text, man. You won't have your phone, but you'll get it afterward. I'm looking forward to it. I always love this. Getting to go watch the games, obviously, but being able to talk about you guys on a broadcast. Going up against Northern Arizona, and, you know, last time out, we talked about the last game against Northern Arizona. This is one of those teams that the record shows that they're near the bottom, but as we pointed out, every game in the Big Sky Conference, it just seems like everybody can potentially be, even the Eastern Washingtons. They've been going through the ringer. You guys took it to them in that second half, almost made it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you do look at this conference. At this point in the season, it does feel like everybody knows each other. They can beat each other.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the biggest thing with us is just trying to take it, you know, these last 2 games, just take it game by game so we can try to give ourselves the best seed and going into the conference tournament, like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
What's the best? Okay, so I'm looking at it right now. You are, theoretically, you guys could still move up quite a few spots, right? Mm-hmm. Sacramento State is 6-9. You're a game and a half behind them. You're a game and a half behind Portland State and a game and a half behind Idaho State. Realistically, yeah. You could still jump over all those teams, right?
Yeah, definitely. If we could, you know, finish this out 2-0, maybe, you know, hope a couple of those teams that we play kind of drop one, then that would help us out as far as seeding wise. But I mean, even though, like, you know, like I said, our last five games were 3-5. And just being able to win these last two games to kind of help our seed. Now we might be able to jump up a couple spots just to, you know, put us in a better situation going into the tournament.
Because you want to, obviously Eastern Washington would get a first round bye, but you can still avoid playing them in the second round, right? With how this rolls, and you don't want to play them in that second round.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, depending on how it falls, we could.
Or do you? Do you care? Do you care who you play?
I mean, it really doesn't matter. But we just,
because you're gonna have to play them all anyway, right?
Yeah, you're gonna play them all regardless. I mean, but. Just the biggest thing for us is trying to get the best seeding we can to put ourselves in a better position for, you know, for that tournament. And we could kind of get three games or for whatever, you know, specific situation is.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's still, it's interesting. You got two games left. There's still a lot to be decided with how this is all going to shake out. That's why I love basketball, because even though there's a lot of games, it still seems like it always comes down to the last week where we still have a lot of things to figure out and decide.
Yeah, exactly.
How good is Eastern Washington? I mean, obviously, you look at their record. They're 15-0, 21-7. You up close and personal playing this team. How good are they? As good as advertised?
Yeah, they're a good team. They're a great team. I mean, great coach. They got good players over there. I mean, you know, like, you just kind of see how their season's been going. They've been playing really well together, and you can see they got something figured out over there, and they're clicking pretty well.
Sometimes you see this, though, where you see teams have really, really great regular seasons, and then they get into the conference tournament, and there's a different level of energy ramped up, because it's win or go home. I mean, there's no more, we'll bounce back next week. Mm-hmm. So you see teams in this desperation mode. So I'll be interested to see how Eastern Washington handles that, because now you got teams, they got nothing to lose. You guys are one of those teams. You have nothing to lose going into that tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then as far as, like, the tournament, you kind of look at it in three different seasons. You got the non-conference, the conference, and then once you start conference play, it restarts basically 0-0 because, you know, from ours is whoever wins it gets the chance to take that bid. So basically it's a new season once, you know, after these last two conference games.
How confident do you feel about going in and making what would be a historic run if you guys can do this? We've talked about it as talking heads, like, hey, if I were an opposing Big Sky team, I wouldn't be too crazy about playing UNC in this Big Sky Conference tournament. How are you guys feeling?
We're very confident. We're feeling good. I mean, just like I said, we've been playing better these last few weeks and just kind of reaching towards playing our best basketball. You know, this is the time you want to be playing your best basketball going into this last week and start of the conference tournament. But, like, we feel pretty good about a lot of things, just continue to tighten down things and just kind of make this stride and make this push.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Jerry Schimmel, the main voice of the UNC Bears. I asked him, and I'll ask you the same question, what is it going to take? Because I know you're going to show out. I know Dalton's going to show out, and I know Matt Johnson. Like, the three of you guys are going to probably put up some big numbers rest of the season in this tournament. What ultimately is it going to take for you guys to get over the hump and win some crucial games in this tournament?
Just bring it more, give it more. You know, it's real difficult to win. So just everybody trying to chip in more and bring more energy, more juice, more focus. Like, just, you know, really bring in whatever we can to try to, you know, figure out how to win. Because, like I said, it's difficult to win when it comes down to this time.
It's intense, man. And again, when you go on this tournament, it's a different style from what you're used to in the regular season. You know, you're playing every few nights or whatever. This is just bam, bam, bam. It's a lot of basketball in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's quick turnaround. So, you know, like, if we win a game, then we're happy about it. And then once the night ends and that's over, now we're focusing on to the next thing, next game, or, you know, whatever the next thing is.
How much can you use from last year? Obviously, you guys got all the way into the Big Sky Conference championship. How much can you use from that for what you place on this tournament this year? I mean, pulling back some of your past experiences.
Just as far as with the older guys, I mean, we kind of know. We know how that is, like, you know, those three games in 3 days, just knowing how, like, we had to take care of our bodies, how we had to switch our minds from one team to the next team and just, you know, make sure we're getting our rest and just knowing that, like, on that third day we kind of ran out of juice, just knowing, like, you know, when we need to bring more energy or just stuff like that, you know, because just being a little seasoned in it just because we've been there before, like, especially with our older guys and then just with the freshmen and the younger guys, just kind of bringing them along and just kind of helping them and telling them, like, all right, like, you know, we've been through this before, like, we played here, just... just kind of make sure you take care of your body and quick focus, quick switch.
Well, it is a quick turnaround. I mean, for you guys, like, for example, you played Eastern Washington on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't play again until this Saturday going up against Northern Arizona. That's plenty of time to scout the team, to go through film study, to practice it out. Well, this suddenly takes away all of that, you know, and you guys have to squeeze all of that preparation, assuming you win game one, to try to fit all of that in to get ready for game two. I mean, what kind of challenges does that provide, the quick turnaround?
I mean, just as far as being able to, you know, not being too high, not being too low. Like, you know, say if it's a good game and we win, just not being too high on that game, knowing that, you know, we have another game the next day, just being ready, being mentally mature enough, knowing that we have a game the next day, just like, you know, being able to switch and focus on this next team.
Against Eastern Washington, you guys played your butts off in that second half. I thought you were – I mean, it really felt like maybe you guys were going to turn this thing over mm-hmm. and pull off the big upset. But you talked about it when we sat down before the segment started, just a slow start for you guys. So how do you take that and go, okay, how do we really bust it out and get that quick start? Because quick starts you guys have been actually pretty good with mm-hmm. throughout the season. Some of the times it's come down to finishing. How do you put all that together, these next two games and then, of course, in the tournament?
I mean, just after watching that film, just a lot of things that we could tighten down on. Like, I mean, you know, like I said, like you said, we played good in that second half. Played good enough in the second half to win it. But the first half, just us starting off kind of slow and, you know, just cutting down some mental things that, like, you know, things that we could control would have put us in a lot better situation going into, like, halftime or, you know, throughout that first half. But mainly just, you know, just tightening down those things, watching and seeing where we could learn from, and then just applying that to the next game.
Yeah. Well, see if you guys can apply that to this one. Finish strong here. Two games remaining. Northern Arizona on Saturday, and then the fall. This is a Monday game, right? Mm-hmm. You'll have another Monday game against Idaho State. So we'll finish up with Daylen on the other side. We'll look ahead at the next two games, and then that all-important conference tournament. 12:49 the time. We'll get a quick break here. It's the Daylen Kuntz Show presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printing. We'll be right back.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Daylen Kuntz Show here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Yeah, I completely spaced that, Daylen. The Idaho game, that was a tough situation. You guys were in the lead for like 98% of that game. They come back. They don't miss free throws, apparently. Mm-hmm. They win 84-82. But before that game was what was weird because, you know, where you guys were scheduled to play against Idaho, I don't know how many hours before or whatever. We actually didn't know if we were going to be able to broadcast the game because of the mm-hmm. power situation. But you ended up playing that it, like 45 minutes away from where you were supposed to play.
Yeah, we ended up playing at like a NAIA that was like 30, 40 minutes away. But yeah, I guess like they had like some power outages like the day before the day we got there. And then we ended up like having to practice in the rec center the day before. And then we actually got to shoot around in the gym like when it was lighter. So there's a lot of light in the gym, but then I think they're still worried about like if the power was to go out during the game. So we just still played at the NAIA.
Dang, that's got to be so weird, just the change up like that. But you said the turnout actually was still pretty good. People still made the trip.
Yeah, it was still a good turnout. I mean, their fans still drove and kind of showed up, and it was still a good environment, still a fun environment to play in.
I'm telling you, if I get that chance to get in a game and you're going to try to hook me up and get me the free throw line, my luck, the lights would go out. Right when you get a wide open beauty of a pass, here it comes, this is my moment, lights out right in the face. that's never happened to you before, though, right? The lights have never gone out in a game?
Nothing happened to me before.
Well, they didn't want that to happen. That would be weird. That would have made big news, probably, in the middle of the game, the lights go out.
Yeah, that
would
have been somewhere.
That was a weird situation for sure, but man, you guys had the lead in that one, and again, it's tough when you get a guy, Devontae Moffitt's a good player, but he went off in that game, 35 mm-hmm. points, and free throws. They were hitting a lot of key free throws. He was perfect from the free throw line, but they were hitting a lot of their key free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, they're a good free throw shooting team. We kind of put them on the line a lot. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, Moffitt had played good. He got in the rhythm early, started playing really well. But we still had a chance to win it. We led for 39 minutes of the 40. But that last minute was kind of, you know.
foul trouble, as you said, is something I know we've talked to Jerry about this too, and of course Coach Smiley, but Theo Hughes and Brock Wisney, both fine players, but both kind of getting those moments where they got to clean up those fouls because they can get in foul trouble early on, and then you're interchanging the two. So hopefully those two guys can try to clean up some of those foul calls, especially as we approach the tournament.
Yeah, definitely. I mean they're learning like everybody else. I mean, they're watching film, seeing what they could do better, but they'll definitely, you know, they'll definitely be better in next games. Just kind of one of those games where, you know, they just both are in foul trouble. It's a physical game down low.
I've asked you a lot about your leadership with this team and throughout the season because there's so many young guys. But now more than ever, don't you feel like that's important to be that leader, you and Matt especially? And of course, you look at Dalton too. But with all these young guys going into this tournament, which is crazy, it's much different than what you've been seeing in the regular season. Do you feel a little extra pressure to be even more of that leader, a guy that they can lean on in this process?
I wouldn't say extra pressure, but I mean, still just continue to be a leader, just knowing that, like, you know, this is my third year here, and then this is their first year experiencing the Big Sky tournament and the energy and all that type of stuff is. Just, you know, just make sure I'm being there, kind of calm them down and kind of tell them about, like, you know, what it's about and just, you know, help them through it.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, it's a different environment. You got two games remaining, of course, going up against Northern Arizona to finish this season out. You got two games remaining where folks can come out and check this team out. And then you got Idaho State on Monday, so another fairly quick turnaround. And then the tournament. I mean, yep. At the end of the next week? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4th through the 8th.
Just like that, man. I mean, we're going to be rocking and rolling. It's my favorite time of year. I love the conference tournament side of things because you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you don't. You never know. I mean, it's March.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, dude, I you have been such a phenomenal player, and I know we're still going to have other shows, but your name as far as historic UNC players, I mean, it's already there, and that's pretty special. Go out and make some history, man.
Yeah,
go take care of these regular season games and then go make some history in this Big Sky Conference tournament. I think if there's a team that could do it that maybe some weren't expecting right now, you guys would be the team to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think we got the chance.
All right, my man. Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And think about that superhero quarterback comparison. We'll talk more. We'll compare notes later on.
All right.
All right, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Dalen Kuntz, we got a big one coming up against Northern Arizona and then Idaho State on Monday. And then we start the tournament, and that is going to be big time. All right, we'll be back for the final hour of the show. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.